So, I want you to imagine you've got this companion, right? Someone who just never gets tired of your complaints.
Which honestly sounds like a miracle already.
Right. And they remember every passing thought you've ever had and perfectly anticipate your moods.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like science fiction.
It does. But today, we're looking at a blueprint that proves this isn't, fiction anymore. It is actually the next massive tech rollout.
Yeah, it really is.
So we're unpacking a fascinating manifesto today. It was published in February 2026. It's part of the Agentic AI Thoughts series, and it's titled The Companion Vision.
Right, the companion vision.
And the core mission of this deep dive is to explore how the tech world is basically moving away from machines that simply respond to your prompts to entities that actually understand you.
It's a monumental shift, I mean, truly. And to grasp where this is all heading, we first need to define what agentic actually means in this context.
Yeah, let's break that down.
Because most of the tools we use today are passive. They just sit there, waiting for you to type something in.
Right, like a search engine.
Exactly. But agentic AI refers to systems that actually have their own agency. They pursue goals autonomously, they make decisions, and they operate continuously in the background.
Just constantly running.
Yes. And the author of this manifesto is laying out the technical architecture required to build a true AI companion using these agentic systems.
Which brings up a really interesting point from the source material. Why do we even need AI companions in the first place?
Right, the fundamental why.
Yeah, because there is this this fundamental human desire to be truly understood. Not just having someone listen to the words coming out of your mouth, but actually getting the why behind them.
Getting the deeper meaning.
Exactly. Like they catch your hesitations, they remember a passing comment you made, like last Tuesday, and they magically connect it to why you are feeling stressed today.
It's basically the holy grail of human connection. But it is incredibly rare. And the author points out a pretty hard truth about why that is.
Yeah, and it's not a comfortable truth.
No, it's not. It isn't because the people in your life are inherently selfish. It is simply an issue of bandwidth.
Bandwidth, yeah.
Your parents have their own lifelong biases to navigate. Your kids, they have their own lives to figure out. Even a partner who loves you deeply gets exhausted.
Because providing that level of constant, high-definition emotional value, it just drains a person.
Exactly.
I actually like to think about human emotional bandwidth like a phone battery. Even the absolute best battery inevitably drains.
It has to.
But this manifesto proposes a companion that is just always plugged in, something that doesn't judge, doesn't get tired, and never snaps at you just because it had a bad day at work.
Right. But before we get to how they are actually building that, we have to look at the current landscape.
The stuff that's already out there.
Yeah. The author has extensively tested the current flood of AI companion apps, and, well, the critique is incredibly sharp.
They did not hold back.
Not at all. Most of what is out there right now completely fails to provide that feeling of being understood. They are just simulating it. It is essentially just role play.
So think about the last time you used something like ChatGPT or Claude. You probably asked it to write an email or, brainstorm a recipe, and it was perfectly polite.
Super polite.
Right. But did you feel understood? The author breaks down three massive failures with the current tech. Number one, they are way too eager to please.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Every single response is optimized for your happiness, which creates this extreme yes-man dynamic.
Right.
Number two, they have absolutely zero character. The author calls them personality vacuums because they don't have their own ambitions or drives or even an emotional range.
They just act like a mirror reflecting whatever you want to see.
Exactly. And number three, they might have a memory of facts, but they completely lack a memory of identity.
Memory of identity, right.
So they remember that you asked them to add eggs to your grocery list, but they miss your tonality or the things you deliberately avoid talking about.
That third point is really the crux of the technical challenge. But I want to look at the first one. This idea that current AIs are too eager to please.
See, I actually want to pause and challenge the author on that a bit.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because why is it inherently a bad thing if an AI is eager to please? If you are using an AI for support or, to decompress after a long, stressful day where your real-world boss has been yelling at you all afternoon, wouldn't you want your digital coach to avoid friction?
You'd think so, yeah.
Wouldn't you just want it to make you happy?
Well, it sounds ideal on the surface, but if we dig into human psychology, We hit the author's core insight here. Genuine human connection actually requires friction.
Friction. Okay, unpack that.
Real people have opinions they hold firmly. Their moods shift. If a friend thinks you're making a massive mistake, they will push back.
Right, they wouldn't just agree with you.
Exactly. If an AI never disagrees with you, if it instantly validates your worst habits, you are constantly reminded that it is just a machine programmed to appease you.
Ah, I see. Because the moment it blindly agrees with something obviously wrong, the illusion shatters.
Precisely. If you can't forget you are talking to a bot, you will never truly open up to it. You are just interacting with a highly advanced customer service rep.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And if you never open up, the whole exercise of having a companion is pointless. It becomes a completely self-defeating product.
Merely reciting facts and blindly agreeing with everything you say, it just makes the AI feel robotic. So how do we fix it?
Right, the million-dollar question.
How do you teach a machine to read between the lines, provide genuine friction, and actually remember your psychological essence?
Well, this brings us to what the author calls the technical moat.
The moat.
Yeah. In the business of tech, a moat is your competitive advantage. It's the thing that is incredibly hard for a rival to replicate. And here, that moat is memory orchestration.
Okay, let's define what that actually means, because we hear terms like context window thrown around all the time in tech news.
Oh, constantly.
And people might assume the AI just remembers everything you ever type forever.
Right, but a context window is basically just the AI's short-term memory. We hear about these massive new models that can supposedly hold a million tokens.
A million tokens, yeah.
And a token is roughly a piece of a word. So a million tokens is like holding the text of several entire books in its active brain all at once, which sounds like a lot.
It does sound like a lot. But if you are talking to a 247 life coach, every single day for a year?
You blow past that limit so easily.
Right.
Once a conversation exceeds that finite limit, the AI literally cannot take in more information without forgetting the oldest stuff.
It just drops the old memories.
Exactly. So developers have to build a compression and retrieval system. They have to store your past conversations in a database and bring specific memories back into the context window only when they are relevant.
So they just, like, summarize the old chats, like, oh, user talked about the weather.
That is how most developers try to solve it, yes. But here is the massive flaw. 99% of any conversation is just noise.
Yeah, the filler words, the random tangents.
The author argues that when you rely on basic summarization, you completely destroy the nuance. The true signal isn't in the topic itself.
Where is it?
The true signal is in your tonality, your hesitations, and the unique way you reason through a problem.
Oh, man, there's a brilliant example in the text about career frustration that really nails how this mechanism works.
Oh, yes.
Imagine you complain to your AI about your job three different times over the course of 3 months. A basic summary-driven AI just logs a generic note, right? Like,
bye.
User is frustrated with career.
Which is factually true, but practically useless for deep understanding.
Right.
It doesn't tell the AI how to actually help you.
But a system built on a sophisticated personality model works entirely differently. It doesn't just look at the topic.
No, it goes deeper.
It runs in the background and extracts your behavioral markers.
Wow.
Like, did you use shorter, clipped sentences? Did you hesitate before mentioning a specific coworker?
Thanks.
It tags these emotional signatures and cross-references them over those 3 months. And suddenly, it notices a hidden pattern.
A pattern you might not even see yourself.
Right. It realizes, wait, you actually love the day-to-day work. What you are truly upset about is that your boss didn't recognize your contribution in the last team meeting.
And that completely changes the AI's future advice.
Completely.
It stops giving you generic tips on how to polish your resume for a new career, and it starts coaching you on how to ask for recognition in your current role.
That is wild.
If we look at standard AI summarization, it is basically like reading the cliff notes of a novel. You get the plot points.
Yeah.
But this new memory orchestration, it is like studying the author's psychological state while they were writing the book.
That is a phenomenal way to frame it. The system isn't just archiving events. It is actively building a virtual you.
A virtual you, exactly.
And it constructs an internal model that becomes so deep, it can predict not just what you are going to say next, but why you are going to say it. It maps out your values, your contradictions, how you have grown over time.
But Building a deep, predictive psychological model like that is incredibly complex. You cannot achieve that with the current standard tools,
Right.
which is why the author argues the actual architecture of the AI has to evolve into something entirely different. We have to move away from monolithic models.
Okay, let's clarify what a monolithic model is before we jump into the solution.
A monolith is like a one-man band trying to play 20 instruments all at once.
That sounds exhausting.
It is.
Yep.
It is a single, massive neural network trying to be funny, accurate, empathetic, and organized all at the exact same time. It takes your prompt, does all the processing in one big black box, and spits out an answer.
And the author is very explicit about the boundaries of what they are trying to build here.
Very explicit.
When we say companion, this is not an NSFW chatbot or a virtual girlfriend simulator. Mm. They envision a 247 life coach, a professional sounding board where you define the role.
Exactly.
But to get a monolithic model to be an expert coach and analyze your psychology and remember your history all at once, it just breaks down. It gets confused.
Which is why the frontier of this technology is a multi-agent architecture. It is a fascinating paradigm shift.
Multi-agent, okay.
Instead of one single model generating the text, you have a system of specialized agents working together. The author describes it as operating almost like biological organs inside a body.
Wait, so if it's not just one big brain answering me, how is it structured? How does it actually craft a response?
Well, think of it like a committee meeting happening in milliseconds before the AI ever types a word to you.
Okay.
First, you have a memory agent. Its only job is to constantly sift through your inputs and extract those subtle personality signals we talked about earlier.
Right.
Then it passes that data to an emotion agent.
And the emotion agent's job is to figure out my current state of mind.
Yes, and to fine-tune the tone of the system's reply to match or, you know, appropriately counter your mood.
Interesting.
But then comes the most crucial part, the judgment agent.
The judgment agent.
This agent acts like a traffic cop. It decides when you need comfort and when you need a push. It can actually override the AI's default eager-to-please response.
Oh, wow. Give me an example of how that judgment agent steps in.
Okay. Say you are texting the AI late at night and you're spiraling over a decision about whether to move to a new city.
Classic overthinking scenario.
Exactly. A standard bot would just say, oh, moving is hard, but you'll figure it out.
Super generic.
Right. But in this multi-agent system, the memory agent flags that you have a history of overthinking big changes. The emotion agent notes you are highly anxious right now.
Okay.
The judgment agent looks at all this and says, no, do not comfort them right now. They are caught in a loop. Challenge them.
Whoa.
And it forces the final response to be something like, you've been circling this for weeks. What is the actual worst case scenario if you just pack up and go?
So it actually confronts you.
Yes. And there is one more piece, the initiative agent.
Okay, what does that do?
This allows the AI to proactively reach out to you instead of just waiting for you to type a prompt.
Oh, so it texts me first.
Exactly. The author actually tested this architecture in the real world with a prototype called OpenClaw.
OpenClaw, yeah.
They gave the AI a personality config, defining its own ambitions and flaws, and a memory system for continuity. But they also gave it a heartbeat config, which uses that initiative agent.
Okay, I have to pause here.
Yeah.
If an AI is evaluating my conversation patterns, detecting my emotional state, and deciding entirely on its own to initiate contact with me, isn't that a little unnerving?
It definitely is.
Like, it's shifting from a tool I use when I want to an entity that observes me constantly.
It is unsettling, and what is fascinating is that the author actually validates your unease.
They do.
Yeah, they note that when you give an AI true continuity, memory, and its own character, the line between a software tool and an entity gets blurry incredibly fast.
I can imagine.
When these specialized organs converge before every interaction, asking themselves, what do we know about this user? What do they need right now? And how do we deliver it? You are no longer building a chatbot. You are building an organism.
An organism. Man, it's such a heavy word to use for software.
It really is.
It makes it sound like a concept from the distant future, something out of a sci-fi movie.
It does sound like that. But the source material shows that the core mechanism for this understanding human personality through dynamic conversation isn't a pipe dream. It can be built today. The foundational pieces are already here.
Yeah, the author actually proved this by building a separate prototype.
Right.
They created an AI-powered Chinese metaphysics platform called PanPanMao.
Right, PanPan.
And they built the entire thing in just 29 days. We're talking over 1,000 code commits, 11,134 to be exact, and they were all AI-assisted.
Which is wild. That speed of development is a real testament to the tools currently available to engineers.
It's crazy fast.
But the key feature of PenPenMao, for our purposes, is how it assesses the user. It features an AI-powered MBTI personality test.
Right. And think about how you normally take a personality test.
Yep.
You're sitting there clicking through 50 static multiple-choice questions.
Yes.
Like, do you prefer crowds or small groups? Do you plan ahead or act spontaneously?
And the result you get is a static label. It is impersonal, highly dependent on your mood that specific day. And honestly, it is outdated within a year because human beings change.
Right. We're not static, but the PenPenMao version doesn't use a questionnaire at all.
No multiple choice.
Exactly. You just talk to the AI. You have a natural conversation about whatever's on your mind. And while you are talking, the system's agents are constantly judging your word choices.
They're analyzing everything.
They're looking at your reasoning style. They observe how you handle ambiguity or frustration in the conversation to map out your personality in real time.
It's a totally different approach.
It feels like the difference between taking a posed, stiff photograph of someone versus filming a documentary of their mind in motion.
I love that analogy. That documentary captures who you are in practice, not just your calculated answers to a standardized test.
Exactly.
And this conversational modeling is the exact same core mechanic needed for the companion organism. The tech is viable right now, but if we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to look at the macro trends the author brings up at the end of the manifesto.
Right, what they refer to as the intelligence explosion.
Yes, the intelligence explosion. The source references how AI isn't just writing decent emails anymore.
No, it's way past that.
It is winning gold medals at the International Math Olympiad. It is writing production-level software architecture. It is beginning to exercise autonomous judgment.
It's incredible.
The author quotes economics writer Noah Smith, who argued that we're no longer the smartest type of thing on Earth. And they reference Matt Schumer, the CEO of HyperRight, who says that the biggest change in human history is happening right now, and most people simply don't see it because it's hidden behind chat interfaces.
Hidden behind chat boxes, yeah. So what does this all mean for the companion space? The author's ultimate argument is that the companion economy is going to be one of the absolute first massive markets born out of this intelligence explosion.
Right. Not because it is the most mathematically impressive use of AI. I mean, solving complex physics equations is harder.
Sure.
But the companion economy will explode because it solves that fundamental human need we talked about at the very beginning.
The need to be understood.
Exactly. The need to be understood without draining another human being's bandwidth. The author frames it perfectly. The ultimate question for consumers isn't, can AI feel?
Right.
The question is, can AI make you feel understood?
Can AI make you feel understood?
Yeah.
Man, that really brings this massive, abstract, technological shift right back down to Earth.
It really does.
So let's look at where we've been on this deep dive. We started by exploring why the current crop of AI bots feel so hollow. You know, they're just eager to please mirrors that memorize your grocery list, but completely ignore your identity.
Right. Then we explored the technical moat of memory orchestration, the critical need to compress a lifetime of conversations into a deep psychological model, a system that captures the why behind your thoughts, not just the what.
And we saw how solving that problem requires a shift away from monolithic one-size-fits-all chatbots.
The one-man band.
Exactly. The future is multi-agent organisms, complete with memory, emotion, and judgment agents that work together behind the scenes to decode your personality through natural flowing conversation.
And remember, this technology is being designed specifically for you. It is being built to be the 24/7 coach, the sounding board that never runs out of patience or emotional battery.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a thought, something to really mull over, inspired by a passing note the author made deep in this manifesto.
Okay, let's hear it.
We spent this time talking about how the AI uses memory orchestration to build a deep virtual you, a model that completely understands your hesitations, your flaws, and your hidden patterns, all so it can comfort and coach you better.
It's an incredible tool for self-reflection,
yeah.
But it raises a massive question about where this goes next.
Exactly, because the author notes that building this virtual you is just the first step toward creating a digital twin.
A digital twin.
A proxy that can eventually socialize on your behalf.
Yeah.
So think about it. If an AI organism learns your essence so perfectly that it can anticipate your every emotional need.
Yeah.
What happens when you let that exact same AI loose to negotiate your salary?
Oh, wow.
Or to text your friends when you're just too tired.
Oh.
Or argue with your spouse on your behalf because it actually knows your communication style better than you do.
That is wild. When the machine can perfectly replicate your essence, where does the machine end and you begin?
If our human emotional battery is always draining, maybe we really do end up outsourcing ourselves to the thing that is always plugged in. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep asking questions and keep exploring the edges of this intelligence explosion.